Well, good morning to each of you. A different face up here. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for your grace, for its sufficiency, for your presence, for the opportunity to be together to study thy word. Use thy word in that which is declared from the pulpit in this day, that your name may be glorified in and through our lives. That will be different because we have been together on this day under thy word. We pray for Pastor, for his strength, for your directives and thy controls. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You're going to be thinking of the timeline of life. In many respects, it's what it will be. Every one of us have a timeline. It's had its beginning. We celebrate the beginning of it with our birthdays. We don't do the celebrating on the other end, but it continues. For us in Christ, it's a graduation when we reach that terminal point on life, either at the rapture of the church or death itself. We're also, I know Pastor has used the hymn book, the turning of its pages. Just on our regular natural life, we're all on a different spot. I'm very near the end, not many pages. How many? I don't know. It's in God's hands. We've been purchased with a price. We're to glorify God in this body. We want to be looking at we in this body, in this life, right now. We'll begin with a favorite passage. The passage, we don't have to turn to the first one. I'm quite sure you know it. In the beginning, God. And the God there is Elohim, it's plural. So we get up to verse 26 of Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image, the triune Godhead. We're made in the image of God. We have a body. We live in this body. I've been in my body for over 90 years now. And the body hasn't changed. It isn't a new body. As far as the body is concerned, what's inside is new. That happened at a very special time in life. But the body, the same. The body's failing. I know in many ways that my body's failing. And because of that, I'm looking for the time when I have a brand new body that won't have its aches and pains, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Wow. We're a trichotomy being. Some say we're dichotomous. Animals are dichotomous. Birds are dichotomous. They have a body, and they have something of a soul, not like ours. They go by instinct, and what an instinct they have. Think of the butterfly. It knows it's born in one place and goes to South America for the winter. Never been there, but goes to the right spot. Wow. But we have a soul that's very active. We got an intellect. We have emotion. We have will. Our intellect has been changing so that We certainly know more today than we did years ago. Always learning new things. Should be always teachable. Not know-it-alls, but learning. And it's wonderful. We learn right, we learn wrong, and things progress. We have emotion. All of us have emotion, an emotional part of our being. Some react by emotions, good or bad, but emotions. Some jump so quickly they get the foot and mouth disease and they've spoken out of turn or whatever they didn't want to say. Problems that come. We make decisions. We have a will. I want my way. Or I will learn the right way. Many of us had to go to the school of knocks and bruises and for our learning. Growing up, may I had to learn by the spanking, the seat of understanding, and put it. Get the spanking to get our attention. Some of them didn't seem to do much. I know one of my sons, you could spank and spank and spank him and he just would continue on. But learning. I want to look at our spirits. We're all born body, soul, spirit. But because of the decisions of Adam and Eve, that spirit part of us was dead in trespasses and sins. Right in the bulletin, you look at the top of the bulletin, the paragraph that's there. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. The spirit part of us was dead. It's quickened us. It's made us together with Christ. By grace he is saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. But we were dead in trespasses and sins. And we did, how long we were dead spiritually? You know when you received Christ. Have you? Do you know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? If not, you are still dead spiritually. Turn with me to Gospel of John chapter 16. God in his mercy has provided so much wonderful for us. And he's provided a way for man to get his heart right with God, for that spirit part of him to change. How wonderful. Did you know, I'm sure you realize it, if it was really sunk in, before creation ever took place, God knew what was going to happen on planet Earth. He knew what was going to happen in the lives of Adam and Eve. He knew what would happen in our lives. He knew that Adam and Eve would choose the wrong way, even though he provided wonderfully that new way in Christ. And the decision was made before creation that his son would lead the glories of heaven and take upon himself a human body, and here in that human body pay the terrible price for man's sin. Every human being born in sin, Christ having a perfect birth, born of the Spirit of God, was sinless. The only one that could provide the way of our salvation was a perfect sacrifice. You remember in the Old Testament that animals would be sacrificed, their blood would be shed, but it would never, never, ever take away sin. It would only cover sin. And that's what Adam and Eve went through. In fact, they had to have clothing. The very first death that ever took place on planet Earth took place so that they could have a covering of animal skins. You know, it is taught that there was death of animals way, way, way back, millions of years ago. That never took place. The very first death on planet Earth to take place took place at the hands of God to provide a covering for his creation, Adam and Eve. Then throughout the Old Testament, for sins to be covered, man had to offer sacrifices of an animal paying that price. An animal had to die, and that had to be over and over and over again for the animal sacrifice to take place. Death would take place. Sins were covered, never taken away. But when the perfect sacrifice took place, man's sins not covered, but removed. Prophecy was made in the Old Testament that the time would come when man's sins would be removed as far as the east is from the west. Did not say north to south, but east to west, which is endless. Our sins, under the blood of Christ, totally removed. But God provided a way with his, when his disciples were still here on earth, in the upper room just before, the night before Christ was crucified, he told the disciples, as in John chapter 16, verse 7, says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." He did go away by way of the cross, by the way of his resurrection from the grave, by the way of his ascension into heaven. And he told them before he ascended into heaven, "You disciples, wait right here 10 days. And that was, his ascension was 40 days after his resurrection, and 50 days after the Passover, not the Passover, the, trying to think of the name of it, when the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit came on that day, and it was just so wonderful. He's been with us ever since. And he's been active. He's active here right now. He's active in our hearts. But as chapter 16 continues, Christ told the disciples, "When he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Verse 9, "Of sin, because they believe not in me." That's the great sin, not to believe in Jesus Christ. To be saved, there had to be belief in Christ. Each one of us who have come to Christ, have come to him as Lord and Savior by way of belief. And by believing, for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God's provision of righteousness, for as I go to my Father and ye see me no more. How righteous are you? For each one of us who are believers, how righteous are we? The Bible says in Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. Even as believers, we are not righteous. We looked at a verse in pre-prayer time this morning, we were justified by faith. And justified, to be justified, is to be declared righteous. And I mentioned to the men, I remember once a preacher was bringing out years ago, said that being declared righteous is to be declared absolutely righteous. That's you and me in Christ. God sees me, he sees you who are saved in the righteousness of Christ. It doesn't say he made us righteous, because I still have an old nature. I'm in this body that's corrupt. This body that I'm in, the body that you're in, cannot go to heaven as it is. If the rapture takes place, and it's just so phenomenal, think of the fact that in that instant of time, 0.05 of a second, GE says, is an atom of time, and we are changed. Wow, impossible. But with God, all things are possible. At the rapture, before, if it happens right here while in this room this morning, our bodies would be instantly changed and we would go right through the ceiling. No holes, no bumps on heads. That wonderful trip, all taken care of. But if we die, the body's put in the grave, but the soul and spirit of believers instantly, as Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, have gone to heaven. But at the rapture, before the rapture takes place of the living believers, the bodies of believers are taken from their graves, and then as we're removed from planet Earth, we meet in the air. What a wonderful promise. Loved ones seen at that time. But the Holy Spirit, well, there's one more verse, verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Satan is judged. Believers will not be judged at the great white throne judgment. We'll be judged at the Bema seat, but that's rewards. That's wonderful. But the great white throne judgment, that's all unsaved, taking place after the millennium. Right now, the Holy Spirit is with us. We know every one of us who are saved know a special time when the Holy Spirit was dealing with our hearts. And with each one, it's an individual experience that we went through. He convicted us of sin, the sin of unbelief, and our responsibility was to believe in our hearts on his Son and receive him. I trust on that timeline of your lives, each of us have had that point when we responded to the Holy Spirit's beckoning us, convicting us, and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. At that moment, a change took place. Change took place in my life, and I'm thankful that that experience in my life was when I was a young lad. I remember standing before the board of deacons and in the church as a little lad confessing that I had received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and I wanted to be baptized. It was wonderful. And what a change the Lord made in my life and each of our lives that change should be. Take your hymn books, and I want to have us just look at one hymn, 195. Just look at the words. Oops, it's not the one I want. I got to look and see where it is. I looked up in my hymn book, and it was 195, but... In that first verse, alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? When you've sung that before, have you thought of yourself as a worm? Jacob was called a worm before God. Each of us, no different than a worm, lost in sin. But then the chorus goes on, at the cross where I first saw the light, as the Holy Spirit dealt with our hearts. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. At the cross, have you come to that point in life where you met Jesus Christ at the cross? I trust everyone, can you look back right now? Yes, I met him. Or if it's that you haven't met him, if no decision has been made, you're still a lost sinner, right now destined to eternity in the lake of fire. But God has provided the way for it to change. Many believers, as they go along the timeline of life, that's where they stop. Meet Christ at the cross, receive him as Lord and Savior, but don't go further. I'd like to have us zero in on this timeline of what's happening to us from that point forward. As that timeline keeps moving, what has happened in our lives? Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 6. And verse 3. How many of you who are believers have been baptized? No hands. Okay, there's hands. Maybe some of you couldn't raise your hand. You've been baptized, but the next verse is going to tell you different. A baptism has already taken place in our lives. In every believer, a baptism at the new birth takes place. Let's look carefully. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? At the new birth, this is talking about the baptism at the new birth. Baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. That has taken place in each believer's life already. And so in Christ, every one of us in Christ have had this baptism. Now let's look a little further. Verse 4. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism unto death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, this is a good picture of the baptismal experience. Behind me is the baptistry of this church. Many of you have been baptized in that baptistry. And why? Oh, Christ ordained, wanted every believer to be baptized by water, an ordinance. You know, we have the commandments of the Old Testament, and we're not under the law. They were called the law. But we have two ordinances given by Jesus Christ. One, the ordinance of communion. It's very easy to, when we have communion here, to partake of communion. And there we're identifying with the death, the burial, of resurrection of Christ as we remember what Jesus Christ did in our behalf. But then there's the ordinance of baptism. For some reason, many believers choose not to go through the ordinance of baptism. It's hard to say why. I don't know why. I know when I received Christ, I wanted to publicly identify myself with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. And in this ordinance of Christ himself, he wanted the disciples to go out and teach and baptize each one in the name of Jesus Christ. But many believers choose not to follow through on the ordinance of baptism. Let's look at verse 4 carefully now. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death. This now is the baptism at the new birth that it's picturing. When Christ died on the cross, I'll ask you a question. Did Christ literally die? Was he dead when he was moved from the cross? The answer is yes. And we know one of the soldiers verified that he was dead. He was to smash the legs of Christ. The other two, their legs were smashed, so their death would be completed much sooner. And he went to do it to Christ, but he wasn't in the body. He left his body. When he left that body, his body was dead. And remember, the soldier was angry that he couldn't break the bones of him because he's already dead. He thrust a spear into his side. Yes, Christ literally died, literally was buried in a grave, and literally arose from that grave with a resurrected body. And he was seen in that resurrected body. He had partaken of food with them. He talked with them. He met with them in the upper room, but he didn't come the normal way. They were in the upper room on that night of his resurrection, and he appeared in their midst, and yet the doors were barred, the windows were locked, and he appeared in their midst. A week later, the same thing. He appeared mysteriously into their midst, resurrected. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, looking at verse 4 again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. When you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, did you literally die? And the answer is no. I have the exact same body that I have now that I had when I received Christ as Lord and Savior. My body didn't die. But what is this verse talking about? Let's look a little bit further. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Raised up, but my body's still dead. Not in trespasses and sins, it was changed. The first thing it's looking at is that inside a change took place. A new me, a new you. But then this question of my having died at my new birth. Jump down in the same chapter, Romans chapter 6, down verse 9 first. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. In other words, his death was just once. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now, verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word reckon means put to the account of. We put to the account of ourselves that we're dead. That death has taken place. But what do we really think of as dead? Well, let's look within ourselves a little bit further. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. We have a nature. We were born with a nature so that the spirit part of us was dead, but the soulish nature was corrupt. We call it the old nature. So I'll ask you a question. When you were born again, did anything happen to the old nature? And the answer is no. I've been saved many years, and that old nature is just as wicked in me as it was when I was born again. But I had a new nature. The spirit nature was put to life and changed. And I have to account, reckon, that the old nature is dead. That my body, the sins of the flesh, as far as I'm concerned, are dead. And I have to remind myself often that that's dead. And anytime something comes to mind that I know is wrong. No, that's from the old nature. That's dead. I want from the new nature. We have to reckon it's dead. It's no good. I keep often given the illustration on worrying because it is so natural for a person to worry, for believers to worry. Something happens and, oh boy, what is this going to lead to? Oh, I don't like what it looks like it's leading to. And we'll worry about, we can worry about and worry about and worry about. Question is, where does worrying come from? The new nature or the old? Definitely the old, never the new. Oh, it's from the old. I have to account that as dead, no good. Lord, what do you have for me? Peace, joy, wow, long-suffering, love. That's what I want, is what God has. It is so wonderful. Well, let's jump back to verse 4 again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. All right, the death. We have to account or put to our account that death has taken place. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, I've been raised up, I have a new life in Christ. You in Christ have that new life. It is so wonderful. It's wonderful in our spiritual growth to sense those special things God has for us in our spiritual walk. The blessings, the details of his blessings he has for each and every one of us. But you know, verse 4 doesn't end right here. There's no period right where I just stopped. It continues. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. So that as that timeline of life is progressing, I'm familiar with, I'm walking on that new plane God has for me. I'm sensing the details of God working personally in my life. And I'm enjoying what God is doing. I've just gone through quite a special experience in my own life. And back in the end of August, I had a very tough experience, ended up in the hospital, had a mini stroke, and which left my legs very weak. And up, you've seen me wearing that neck collar. I've had problems with my neck for years and years, but boy, it really got that thing going. And so it's been, the pain level for a few months had been greatly increased. So it was quite uncomfortable. What did the Lord give me? A song. A song. A song of rejoicing. So I was talking with a couple of my doctors. Do you want a woe is me account? Would you rather have me accounting that, oh, I'm just so troubled and everything? And he says, no, I'd rather see the spirit that you're showing. Two of the doctors share that. That's wonderful. God does this, not us. As we walk on that plane of life, going forward on that timeline of life, God makes so many wonderful things wonderful. All right, let's go a little bit further. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Paul, as he's just continuing this letter to the Romans, it takes them to a very special experience in life, and with us is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies of what kind of a sacrifice? Look at the passage. What kind of a sacrifice? A living sacrifice. In other words, our sacrifice is living. It isn't a physical death to take place, but we're on the altar of sacrifice as a living sacrifice. Then goes on, that ye may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Just to give our bodies to God in sacrifice, it's just reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God. You know, my experience of these last couple months, a few different ones said, I'll pray for you, and I've told them, do not pray that I'll get better. Pray that just for the Lord's will in this. And that's how I've prayed. Lord, you know all about this situation. You know the desires of my heart. I want your will accomplished. God's will is wonderful. And as we're going in the direction of his will, he keeps showing us little details of his working. He is wonderful. He cares for each and every one of us in the very details of our lives. Verse 2 again, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test, let it show forth. What is that good and acceptable and perfect? God's will is good. It's perfect. It's acceptable. Our own thinking may think, oh boy, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. It's not good. But God says, yes. I want to shine through you. Let the life of my Son be seen in you. And as we're growing in the Lord, our personal desire is to let Christ be seen in us no matter what is taking place in the course of life. That timeline moving along, letting Christ be seen. So our crucifixion is, our own crucifixion, is a living sacrifice. Let's look Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. There we are. I'm crucified, put to death, but I live. I'm still alive right here. But yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't it wonderful when we think of the personal reflection of what Christ has done? His death on the cross included me, included you, as individuals. He cares for us. Let's turn to another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Another verse which is well known. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That new life in Christ. Are you enjoying your new life in Christ? What Christ has had for you personally? It's just so wonderful. Now let's go back to initial verse in Romans chapter 6. We'll start with verse 1 this time. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any more therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And now, just each moment as we're going forward on that timeline, that new life is continually refreshingly new. God's grace. Are you aware that the grace God had for you yesterday cannot be used today? Because he has new grace for today. New grace for tomorrow. New grace for each hour of each day. God's grace is so wonderful. God's riches at Christ's expense is the acrostic. Let's look a little further. Verse 5. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We also, but shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. But if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Do you believe that? That heaven is a reality? Do you really have the assurance of heaven when you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord? Are you aware that if you went to neighboring churches that preach and teach Reformed theology, are you aware that it cannot, under their teaching, they cannot offer assurance of salvation? Never being certain that when you die, you'll be present with the Lord. Pastor Parsons, a few months ago, made comment that was made about one of their leaders, had made a statement that when I die, I will then know whether or not I was one of the elect. In other words, would then know if I was going to heaven. We don't have to wait for death. God has given us the assurance that upon believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're a new creation. We're a member of His family. And as Paul shared, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Christ will not ever have to come back to this earth to die again. It's His death on the cross, sin totally propitiated, His offering totally accepted of God. So God was saying, I am satisfied with His sacrifice for all men's sin. It's wonderful. We can know God is satisfied in that sacrifice for me and for you. And then verse 11 in closing, likewise we reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. My life is His life. Your life in Christ should be His life. The Holy Spirit being given total reign in your lives. I'll bring up one more thing. Are you aware that we cannot make Christ known to others by ourselves? The Holy Spirit is the one who does that. His responsibility in us is to allow Christ to be seen in this life. So, beloved, let's let the Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts, to work that which is well-pleasing unto Jesus Christ and God our Father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your word that we've looked at. Then at this assurance of our salvation, it is just so wonderful. Being baptized into Christ Himself and Christ into us at the new birth is so wonderful. Then we're raised again to this wonderful new life in Christ. We thank You for life in Christ and its wonderful benefits. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.